The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
In America's cities and towns today, flags will be placed on graves and cemeteries. Public officials will speak of the sacrifice and the valor of those whose memory we honor. I have no illusions about what little I can add now to the silent testimony of those who gave their lives willingly for their country. Words are even more feeble on this Memorial Day, for the sight before us is that of a strong and good nation that stands in silence and remembers those who were loved and who, in return, loved their countrymen enough to die for them. Yet we must try to honor them, not for their sakes alone, but for our own. And if words cannot repay the debt we owe these men, surely with our actions, we must strive to keep faith with them and with a vision that led them to battle and a final sacrifice. Our first obligation to them and ourselves is plain enough. The United States and the freedom for which it stands, the freedom for which they died, must endure and prosper. Their lives remind us that freedom is not bought cheaply. It has a cost. It imposes a burden. And just as they whom we commemorate were willing to sacrifice, so too must we, in a less final, less heroic way, be willing to give of ourselves. Each died for a cause he considered more important than his own life. Well, they didn't volunteer to die. They volunteered to defend values for which men have always been willing to die if need be, the values which make up what we call civilization. And how they must have wished, in all the ugliness that war brings, that no other generation of young men to follow would have to undergo that same experience. As we honor their memory today, let us pledge that their lives, their sacrifices, their valor shall be justified and remembered for as long as God gives life to this nation. And let us also pledge to do our utmost to carry out what must have been their wish, that no other generation of young men will ever have to share their experiences and repeat their sacrifice. Earlier today, with the music that we have heard and that of our national anthem, I can't claim to know the words of all the national anthems in the world, but I don't know of any other that ends with a question and a challenge as ours does. Does that flag still wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? That is what we must do. Thank you.
A beautiful Memorial Day tribute there. Of course, President Reagan narrating. It was a speech he gave back in 1982. The video, I think, was produced just a few years ago by a member of the military, a military man, who put together a stirring tribute, as I say. And here we are on Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend. And, of course, many take this as an opportunity to get together with friends and family to have barbecues and such. I guess it signifies the beginning of the summer. But it is also an excellent opportunity for us to pause and to remember, as President Reagan said there, that freedom has a cost. It does have a cost. There's a price for freedom, to maintain these liberties and these freedoms that we enjoy in the United States of America. What a price that has been paid. It does impose upon us also a burden, these freedoms, these liberties that we enjoy. We'll have a fair bit more to say about this Memorial Day. Also, we have a Bible study to get to. a very hopeful and uplifting message about God's coming government. We touched on that to some degree last week with our study through relying mostly on the prophet Isaiah's book. So we'll get to that a little bit later on as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can get to our live stream of this program at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. thetrumpet.com/live takes you right to these daily presentations, and of course all of the podcasts that we post after the fact as well. We're very happy to be partnering with our digital radio station, CRN, that also sends this audio file out live as well. You can go to CRN, the website, CRN Digital Radio, and listen to the live stream there and on a number of other sources that CRN feeds into. But if you want to get the video presentation and see our beautiful studio here in central Oklahoma, then you have to go to our website to do that. That's thetrumpet.com/live. Well, just a quick update on our traveling roadshow now, the Celtic Throne production. We had our first concert just yesterday afternoon right here on campus at beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. I think there were about 450 people that turned out for that, a live and raucous crowd that that really did inspire the dancers, the singers, the musicians. So it was a wonderful experience to be a part of on, as I say, this Memorial Day weekend. There's more shows to come, more even right here in Edmond. If you're in Central or anywhere in Oklahoma, you can look on the calendar, June 6th, that's next Sunday. And then also, I think, July the 11th, that's several weeks away. But in between those two performances, well, ahead of it, actually, we've got one this Wednesday night in Dallas, in Irving, Texas. So in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if you're anywhere in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, go to the website, CelticThrone.com, to secure your tickets for Dallas. After that, we're going to be playing in Austin and Amarillo, in Birmingham, Alabama, in Tennessee, Nashville and Memphis, Little Rock, Arkansas, and then Tulsa toward the end of June. So any of those productions, if you're close to those cities, by all means, come and see us and see the production and see what we've produced right here in-house. Just a fabulous, fabulous production. And a wonder, speaking of uplifting studies of the Bible, a wonderful uplifting message in that performance, that stage performance, Celtic Throne. So go to CelticThrone.com. So you heard a little bit from President Reagan there in that stirring tribute. And this morning, the fake president, Joe Biden, he was speaking at Arlington Cemetery. And just to give you, and again, it's like we're living through this Twilight Zone period. This is the president of the United States, supposed to be. Well, go back to yesterday. He gave a Memorial Day address yesterday. And then he gives his address this morning at Arlington National Cemetery. But the one yesterday, there were 7,300 who tuned in live for that speech. 7,300 people. Today I looked at the views and it was 12,000, so only 5,000 came along to view it later. In a nation of 330 million people, and now the White House YouTube channel has almost 2 million subscribers. And if YouTube operates the way that it used to, or the way I was familiar with, when something is posted or when there's a live presentation, there's an alert that goes out to your subscribers. So of 2 million subscribers, forget about 330 million, of 2 million subscribers, you had just 7,000 people that wanted to watch it live yesterday. You look at the video of this morning, as I said, 12,000 total have watched it, and that's 287 likes and 3,000 dislikes. That's for fake President Joe Biden. Do you think a majority of Americans know what's going on here? I think they do. And I think the rest of the world does as well. The rest of the world knows what's happening. Incidentally, you look at the White House YouTube channel, and you have to scroll almost to the bottom to get to Joe Biden's playlist. He's the president, right? And you've got to go all the way down to almost the end of the page to get to the president's playlist. He's behind Kamala Harris, all these other subjects. Of course, Jen Psaki, she's got her playlist up higher. They know. They know. They know how unpopular he is. And they know it's a massive fraud. And all the people that go onto the YouTube channel for the speech that he had this morning, they started the live stream for his remarks at Arlington National Cemetery. And before anything was even going on, before the live stream even started, it had something like 800 dislikes. They were already disliking it before it even started. And get this. When the ceremony started, guess how many people were watching it live? All across the United States of America, 350. 350. And they had some other speakers before Joe Biden came on to speak. And by the time Joe Biden gets up to speak, 550, not even 1,000, if you can believe it. And here again, the likes and the dislikes, just a massive number of dislikes. As always, as with everything he does, as with every speech that they post. It's a fake and fraudulent presidency. It's illegitimate. And most people know it, as my father has said in the Trumpet magazine. Most people know it, even Democrats. That's why they're working so hard to keep it covered. To keep those ballots in warehouses. Someone wrote in, commenting on the tribute we had yesterday on the weekend edition of this program for Dr. Ilhat Mazar and her motto, "Let the Stones Speak." And this viewer said, it ought to be the same motto with respect to free and fair elections. Let the ballots speak. Let the ballots speak. Are they legitimate? Are they legitimate ballots? Or are they fake? So here comes this fake administration into the weekend. Kamala Harris, the fake vice president, she tweeted out ahead of the weekend, enjoy a long weekend. And then lots and lots of people gang tackling her on social media. Enjoy a long weekend? So they come out and try to correct or clean up the record a little bit. And I think they did the same thing for something similar that Joe Biden said on his Twitter account. So it's probably the same people running both accounts. And then they're having to kind of clean up the mess after the fact. Oh, right. It's Memorial Day weekend. Well, there's more to it than just enjoy the long weekend. This is, again, people are enjoying their long weekend, I'm sure, and there are barbecues, and there is a lot of fun in the sun over Memorial Day weekend. But we're talking about the president and the vice president of the United States of America. Enjoy the long weekend. This morning, as I say, here's the ceremony, broadcast live on the White House YouTube channel, and 550 people watching live on YouTube. Here's a little bit from the fake president, Joe Biden, this morning, clip 4.
These Americans weren't fighting for dictators. They were fighting for democracy. They weren't fighting to exclude or to enslave. They were fighting to build and broaden and liberate. They weren't fighting for self. They were fighting for the soul of the nation, for liberty and simple fair play, simple fair play and decency.
Americans shedding their blood for, as he said it, simple fair play. Yeah, you can't make this up. This is a president on Memorial Day calling for decency and fair play. Listen again to Joe Biden from earlier today, clip 5.
Democracy means the rule of the people, the rule of the people, not the rule of monarchs, not the rule of the moneyed, not the rule of the mighty. Literally, the rule of the people.
Says the one who stole the election from the people. Over and again, the rule of the people. The people have say. Okay, then the people want a recount. No, no, no. No, we're not going to allow that, or we're certainly going to fight it. We're certainly going to do everything that we can in court and out of court to fight it. We don't want those ballots counted. We don't want those ballots inspected. We want to keep them in the warehouse. Listen again to Joe Biden from earlier today, clip 6.
Folks, you all know it. Democracy thrives when the infrastructure of democracy is strong. When people have the right to vote freely and fairly and conveniently. When a free and independent press pursues the truth, founded on facts, not propaganda. When the rule of law applies equally and fairly to every citizen.
That's the fake president of the United States calling for, the fake president who stole the election, calling for free and fair elections, if you can believe it. As I say, you can't make this up. A fake president, the commander in chief, calling for free and fair elections in the United States of America. He mentions, too, there, the free and independent press. How reliant we are on the free press. Listen to one of the propagandists in the media yesterday. This is regarding the Wuhan virus, the Wuhan flu. How that it started in that lab, sure enough, just like President Trump said that it did. And a lot of people now, says this journalist, a lot of people have egg on their face because they got it wrong last year when they said, no, 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 no. No, it didn't start in the Wuhan lab. It was in the market. It was through nature. Now listen to this journalist as he attempts to correct the record, or at least to explain why the press got it wrong last year. Clip 3.
And yes, I think a lot of people have egg on their face. This was an idea that was first put forward by Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, Donald Trump. And look, some things may be true even if Donald Trump said them. And there was, because Trump was saying so much else that was just out of control, and because he was, making a frankly racist appeal, talking about Kung Flu and the China virus, his notion that put forward that this may have, or that he said flatly that this came from that lab, was widely dismissed.
Says the... Says the individual who basically perpetuated a lie. Donald Trump's out of control, but he's got it under control. That's what he wants for you to believe. There he is admitting that because Donald Trump said it, we said it was a lie. Because Donald Trump said it, we could not accept it. What did he say exactly? Some things may be true even if Donald Trump said them. Wow. So they dismissed it early on. They dismissed it for a year. Why? Because Donald Trump said it. That's someone speaking for the free and independent press. We need that, said Joe Biden. We need a free and independent press. A fake president calling for free and fair elections at Arlington National Cemetery, of all places. I mean, what does that have to do with an address for our fallen heroes? What a price. Freedom has a cost, a tremendous cost. And we've got military cemeteries all over this earth. Young men, most of them were barely out of their teens, if they even were, spilling their blood. In France, in Germany, in Japan, all over the world, so that we could enjoy freedom, liberty. And now we're seeing those liberties taken away Victor Davis Hanson wrote this piece a couple weeks ago about America becoming, as he said, Sovietized, or becoming a communist state. He says, here are 10 symptoms of Sovietism. Ask yourself whether we are headed down this same road to perdition. Here are 10 symptoms. Let me rattle them off. Number one, there was no escape from ideological indoctrination anywhere. Number two, the Soviets fused their press with the government. Do we see that in the United States today? There's Jonathan Carl admitting that because Donald Trump said it, we rejected it, even though it was the truth. This is an institution, the so-called free and independent press, that is one and the same with the Democrat Party. Number three, Hanson says, the Soviet surveillance state enlisted apparatchiks and lackeys to ferret out ideological dissidents. You got to blot them out. You got to censor the dissidents. Anyone that would oppose what's coming from the authoritarian state, the police state, really. Number four, the Soviet educational system sought not to enlighten, but to indoctrinate young minds in proper government-approved thought. Oh, yes, critical race theory. Look at what our young people are being taught today. Look at what educators are filling their minds with. The hatred, the lies, the deceit. Number five, the official Soviet was run by a pampered elite exempt from the ramifications of its own radical socialist ideologies. They're the exceptions. They can do what they want, the elites. This is the world we've created. This is the world we've allowed. If you're LeBron James, you can threaten a police officer. If you're a police officer who makes fun of LeBron James, you're fired. You're fired. Or you throw a little popcorn at an NBA player, you're gone. You're banned from the arena for years, maybe. But the star, the multimillionaire, the celebrity, he can put a target on you if you're a police officer trying to save a woman's life, by the way. He did, in fact. It says, number six, the Soviets mastered Trotskyization, or the rewriting and airbrushing away of history to fabricate present reality. They mastered this, the communists of the Soviet Union. As I read through these, remember again what Herbert Armstrong said so many years ago, decades ago, in fact, about the communist infiltration of the United States of America. All of these freedoms, the freedom that we've enjoyed in the United States, it has a cost. That freedom, that liberty, it's been paid for in the blood of our youngsters, our soldiers. Number seven, it says, the Soviets created a climate of fear and rewarded stool pigeons to root and rat out all potential enemies of the people. Number eight, Soviet law, state prosecutors, and courts were weaponized according to ideology. You look at what they're still pushing to arrest more for trespassing and disorderly conduct. 450 are not enough from January 6th. Even as the rioting and the looting and the burning continues in Portland and elsewhere, it's gone on for well over a year. It says, number nine, the Soviets doled out prizes on the basis of correct Soviet thought. And then 10, the Soviets offered no apologies for extinguishing freedom. We've got to do this. We've got to extinguish freedom. We've got to let the authoritarian state, the administrative state, knows best. It knows what's best for you. It tells you when to put on the mask, when to take off the mask, when to go into the basement, when you can come out. Someone else commented, in the propaganda media over the weekend about, oh boy, you compare this Memorial Day to last Memorial Day when Donald Trump was saying, hey, we're going to come out of this sooner rather than later. And he's talking as if the lockdown, the indefinite lockdown, indefinite length of them, like they're good things. How could he have said that last year? How could he have been hopeful and optimistic that, look, we need to open up and we need to open up soon? That's what he was saying last Memorial Day, says this journalist, this member of the free and independent media, free and independent press. One and the same, the so-called independent media, together with the radical leftist Democrat Party, the Communist Party. Do people see what's going on? You look more and more and you'll, I mean, if it's happening at a NASCAR event or something, but these people, even at Yankee Stadium, at the Mets Stadium in New York, they're unrolling these massive banners that say Trump won, save America, Trump won. People know. And I think more and more Americans are becoming more bold and courageous to speak the truth because they see what's happening. You see it, as I say, there's quite a story to tell just on the likes versus dislikes. The amount of people watching a live event from the White House. If the president of the United States can barely get a larger live audience than we can on this program, what is going on? What is going on? What's going on is 2 Kings 14. Only God can save America or allow for a mini resurgence after this fraudulent, illegitimate presidency. And we've taken you through that prophecy so many times before. I won't do it again here. This is from Donald Trump's statement earlier today. He said, on this Memorial Day, we remember the fallen heroes who took their last breaths in defense of our nation, our families, our citizens, and our sacred freedoms. The depth of their devotion, the steel of their resolve, and the purity of their patriotism has no equal in human history. President Trump says, on distant battlefields and far-off oceans and high in the skies above, they faced down their enemies and gave their lives so that America would prevail. They made the supreme sacrifice so that our people can live in safety, and our nation can thrive in peace. He says, it's because of their gallantry that we can together, as one people, continue our pursuit of America's glorious destiny. He's evidently, he still has some pretty good speechwriters to help him here. This is quite a statement. Honoring our fallen heroes on this Memorial Day. He says, we owe all that we are and everything we ever hope to be to these unrivaled heroes. Their memory and their legacy is immortal. Our loyalty to them and to their families is eternal and everlasting. It says America's warriors are the single greatest force for justice, peace, liberty, and security among all the nations ever to exist on earth. God bless our fallen soldiers, sailors, Coast Guardsmen, airmen, and Marines. We honor them today, forever, and always. That's from Donald Trump just earlier today. Newt Gingrich had a piece last week about how Americans, he wrote this ahead of the Memorial Day weekend, and he said Americans remain patriotic, never mind what the propaganda media might be out there saying about the institutionalized this or that or the other. He says, despite everything you see in the woke, radical, left-dominated media, Americans remain remarkably traditional in how they see themselves and how they value patriotism. Gingrich writes, the left constantly uses divisive language and tries to force Americans to assume tribal identities along racial and ethnic lines rather than favor a shared national identity And he gives some percentages. And again, overwhelmingly, and across racial lines even, 87% of Americans see themselves primarily as American, while only 8% see themselves primarily as persons of color. He says, so the next time you hear some left-wing figure promoting racial or tribal identity over a united American identity, remember they are talking to one-tenth of the country and are rejected by 85% of the country. How many, in fact, voted for Donald Trump if it was free and fair? And how many voted for Joe Biden if it was free and fair? If it really and truly was a vote with integrity and security, what would the numbers actually show? Maybe we'll get a glimpse of that when they finish the Arizona audit. I think they're about halfway through inspecting those more than 2 million ballots. A few more weeks to go with that count. It says finally in this Gingrich piece, in fact, by 91% to 5%, Americans agree with Martin Luther King Jr. that the content of a person's character is more important than the color of his or her skin. One of the moving moments from yesterday's performance, Celtic Throne, was when one of our dancers, in talking a little bit about the background of the show and the families that are involved in it, he took a moment to honor the veterans and the active military duty soldiers that were there watching the show. And I think there were like 20 or 25 that stood up. And the crowd applauded them, and I saw some shaking their hands, thanking them for their service. And, of course, during Celtic Throne, we have that beautiful American medley, which culminates in this a cappella, this three-part harmony, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And we'll conclude this first segment with that song from yesterday.
Let
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I'll begin this segment just to give you a few excerpts from one of our viewers that's joined on just in the last year. It says here, I've been listening to the Trumpet Daily for a little over a year now. Came across this wonderful program shortly after the COVID started and during lower back surgery recovery in March of last year. I'm not new to knowing who Herbert Armstrong is or the Worldwide Church of God or even who the Philadelphia Church of God is. My parents were brethren of the Worldwide Church, married in the church, and I was born and raised in it. I voluntarily left, stopped attending services, and separated myself from the church and unfortunately from God when I was 16. And then further on, she says, to make what could be a long story short, after 20 plus years, I do believe that God has now allowed me the opportunity to reestablish a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Further on, she says, there's so much more that goes along with what I wanted to say here, but I have sent the church a letter earlier this year about my situation and asked for counseling with local ministers regarding baptism and moving forward. So a very encouraging note here put forward by someone who's returned to the truth. After 20-some years, getting it back right with God. And as part of that journey over the past year or two, she's really been plowing through Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong's book from 1985, the last book that he wrote, the greatest book that he wrote. Notice this PS that comes from this message to your listeners. For those of you who are contemplating reading Mystery of the Ages and have not done so, stop wasting your time and read it. Stop wasting your time and read the book. Read it for yourself. I've read it twice, and I'm just now starting to go back through to make notes. It says, the astonishing truth about God, the church, and God's kingdom will shock you. The truth about God and his church and the coming kingdom of God, it will shock you. It's unlike anything you've ever heard in the traditional Christian religion. It's unlike anything you've ever heard in the world. The truth of God. The truth about God's kingdom, the truth about what God is doing, the purpose that he's working out here below. What is that purpose? Why are we here? Why is the world in the condition that it's in? Such a dreadful, dreadful world, filled with violence and evil. Satan has a way, of course, of putting a shine on top of all the chaos, much like you would in a city like Las Vegas. You've got all the bright lights that look pretty from afar, but then you look at all of the addiction and the violence and the just the weakness, the perversions. You don't have to scratch beneath the surface very far to find it. It's all over the place. What is God doing on this earth? Notice Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Let's first look at what happened. What happened long ago that's impacted everything that you see in the world today. This is Isaiah 14 and verse 12. It says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." It says, "And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." So Lucifer, well, he was stationed on earth at the time. He had been trained at God's headquarters and then put out on assignment along with a third of the angels and expected to, given the responsibility to, administer God's government on earth. He had been trained in the government of God by God himself. But what did he do with that? Well, he turned to lawlessness and disobedience instead of obedience to God's laws. Instead of upholding the government of God, he turned against God and fought God at every turn. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that he's the God of this world. He was there in the Garden of Eden, or at least he was allowed in when God had finished training Adam and Eve, when God had finished giving them just the essential knowledge that they would have needed to be a success. They rejected the tree of life, however, and instead turned to the devil. They looked to the devil as their educator. And the devil was there to say, look, you decide. You don't need God telling you one way or another. You decide what's right and what's wrong. And man's been doing that ever since. It says in verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Moffat says, "I will rival the Most High." He wanted to be in a position even ahead of God. And you see that same kind of thinking all over the earth today. There's a way, like the proverb says, there's a way that seems right to a man. It seems right. Seems like the right way to go. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's how it all ends. So going back to our question, what is God doing? If this is what happened early on, if this is what happened to Adam and Eve, if human civilization or mankind was cut off from the tree of life, as it clearly says there at the end of Genesis 3, then what has been happening? What is God's purpose? Why has God allowed it? Some people can't get their minds even around that simple truth, that reality, that Satan is the God of this world. Why? Why should he be the God of this world? Why won't God remove him? Well, God is going to remove him from off the throne of this earth. And that's coming. And soon. It's coming soon. God allowed it, though, to go on for some 6,000 years so that mankind might learn a lesson that he'll never, ever forget. This is what happens. This is what happens when you reject the law of God, when you reject God as your creator and educator and ruler, and instead turn to the way of lawlessness and vanity. Look at the vanity in the devil. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Who did he think he is or was? That same thinking again. It's so pervasive, isn't it? The vanity and the arrogance. Imagine after, as I said in the first segment, after pulling off the theft of the century, then getting up and saying, at a memorial service, really, that he wants free and fair elections. The audacity. Now, I don't want to just blame it on one side or the other. We've all got it, that evil nature. And we all need to repent of it and turn to God and look to him as our ruler and our educator. Notice verse 6 of chapter 9. I read these last week, but let's just read them again. Quick review. Going back to, again, the purpose that God's working out here below. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So here's Isaiah talking about this child, this God in the flesh. He was born to conquer, to overcome, and eventually to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. To smite that head of the serpent, as your Bible says. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." God's government. Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government," there it is again, government, "of the increase of that government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this." So this aligns with so many other prophecies regarding David's throne, that unbreakable line of kings culminating in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In a lot of ways, this is what Celtic throne is about. Celtic throne. It revolves around a throne, this purpose, this plan that's being worked out here below. Jesus Christ was prophesied to be king over the whole world. King of Kings, as I say, and Lord of Lords. Now, why didn't he set up and establish that kingdom right then and there in the first century? Why didn't he establish God's government over all the earth? Well, there was a time order to everything. God was working it out. It was unfolding exactly the way God said that it would. Isaiah 40, we'll just stay again in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 40 and verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Eternal. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So there had to be preparations ahead of the first coming too, but certainly the second coming. And this is a prophecy about a voice crying out in the wilderness of religious confusion. That voice was Herbert Armstrong. He was laying the groundwork in God's church. Of course, most people dismissed or rejected Herbert Armstrong. Not everyone. You hear comments like the one I read at the top of this segment from time to time where they veer off course for 10, 15, maybe 20 years, 20 plus years. But then when they get back right with God, That excitement, that joy, that understanding, just understanding the truth about God's coming kingdom, it'll blow you away, says that viewer. If your viewers haven't yet gotten into Mystery of the Ages, tell them to stop wasting their time and to do it. The government, you see, this government that God speaks of in Isaiah, it's restored first in the church. And those in the church or the family of God are being prepared and trained to rule alongside Jesus Christ. He's about to marry the bride. The bride is the church. And then everyone who's ever lived will have an opportunity to see what it's like to live under the government of God, the family of God. That's what God is working out here below. Verse 4, it says, "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, it says. And when you look at this spiritually, of course, you can read about it in the autobiography or even Mystery of the Ages, the introduction in particular. You see God's hand working to remove those mountain-sized obstacles, to open doors miraculously for his work. Verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Eternal shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Eternal has spoken it." So it just it leads right into this millennial vision. Let me take you ahead to verse 9. It speaks of another voice here. "O Zion that brings good tidings," or "you that brings good tidings," it should read, "get you up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem," or "O you that bring good tidings to Jerusalem." It says, "lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." This church has been taking that message to Judah and elsewhere. Well, we've used Dr. Mazar's findings, Alat Mazar's findings. Let the stones speak. What a message coming from those stones. What a story they have to tell. My father writes in the booklet, that prophet, it says, "Here is a voice," he's commenting on verse 9 here, "here is a voice bringing good tidings, not only to Jerusalem, a type of the nations of Israel, but also to Zion of all things. Zion is a type of God's church. And here someone has to bring them good news," that viewer wrote of the worldwide church of God. And what happened following the death of Herbert Armstrong? An entire church fell away from the truth. It says they should be taking it, the truth, to the world, but instead someone's bringing it to them because they don't have it. This is an amazing scripture when you understand it. And if you want to study this further, get Mystery of the Ages. Call our operators, toll free, 866-930-3024. It's a toll free number in the United States and Canada. You can get the booklet, that prophet that I just quoted from, or Mystery of the Ages, so that you too can understand the truth about God's coming kingdom. 1-866-930-3024. Let me just finish with this next verse. Verse 10, you hear about these voices. You hear about preparing the way for Christ's coming rule on earth. And then look at verse 10. It says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." He came the first century as that lamb sacrifice. But look here, look at this prophecy about the second coming. It says he's coming with a strong hand, and he's going to rule this time. He's ruling with the rod of iron, it says in Revelation 2. And the saints will be ruling with him. They're part of that government administration, just like you would see a lot of parts in a government administration today. So Christ will need help from his helpmeet, the church, his bride, his wife. That's a beautiful vision, and it's all spelled out, as I say, there in Mystery of the Ages. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily. You can join us every weekday and even on Sunday mornings now with the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. You can get to all of these programs at thetrumpet.com/live. We've been going at this now for over 6 years, so there's lots and lots in the archives. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.